excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Michigan State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way home from the Cal-Michigan State game on August 30th. I'll start off with my commentary on the quarterback position. I think the easiest way to say it is, thus endeth the Longshore debate. He had his opportunity to come in, and for just a glimpse there, just a glimpse after those three completions, including one where he had to be a little bit more mobile than usual, there was this thought that, hey, maybe Longshore's come around. Nice long pass to Mora, and being nimble on his feet, and maybe he's not so bad. And then he proceeded to throw two consecutive interceptions. And that pretty much ends the debate as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure Tedford feels the same way. And to some degree, it was a little bit of an unfair test for Longshore, because he was forced into a situation where he had to perform really strongly right away. He needed touchdowns, he needed to make great throws, he needed to thread the needle, he needed to wow and impress people. And when that happens, you tend to make decisions you otherwise wouldn't make when the job is yours. You know, you're not just going to throw the ball away because it's not there. No, you want to figure out how to make that play happen. And it's why Tedford doesn't like a quarterback controversy. He doesn't want quarterbacks looking over their shoulders and making decisions based on this being a very limited tryout period and trying to force things they otherwise shouldn't. But nevertheless, Longshore didn't perform to the level he would have needed to get the starting job back or have a hope at getting the starting job back. And while, as a reminder to fans, I think Longshore is going to play more this season than other backup quarterbacks have played in past seasons, not because he's going to get another shot at the starting job, but because Tedford wants to keep his backup quarterback fresh so that if Riley goes down, and it's a very high likelihood that your starting quarterback is going to be injured at least at some point during the season, so it's almost when Riley goes down, the backup is in a good place to be able to come in and perform. And if they sat on the bench the entire season with no time in the game, they're not going to perform to the level they would if they get a series a game, or at least one every couple games. But it's pretty clear that Riley's got the starting position now and is going to hold on to it. As for Riley's performance, he did pretty good. There's no denying that he did a good job. He still always seems to have that one or two miraculous plays where he pulls something off that he had no business pulling off. And I'm sure it makes Tedford cringe. I'm sure he has a real hard time with it because he's throwing out this wounded duck pass and Mora happens to catch it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's kind of a wounded duck, and if things had gone a little bit differently, it would have been an interception. But I think Riley just has that instinctual ability to sense, and it's not going to work all of the time, but generally to understand when he can do that and when he can't, because you don't see him doing it when it would have been disastrous. He also threw the ball away a number of times when there was nothing there. There was one particular one on a rollout pattern that really impressed me where he could have tried to force the ball in, but realized that there were just too many defenders around his receiver, particularly when he was on the move, to be able to thread that needle. So overall, I was impressed with Riley, and I thought he did a great job. But speaking more generally about the offense, I felt they were a little sluggish. You know, there were a few gifted points in this game, so the 38 points they scored was not all the offense's doing. There were some gifts. I mean, there was the direct touchdown off of the blocked punt, but additionally, that 80-yard run by Vereen was a really blown coverage situation by Michigan State, where they were putting too much on the line. It only took a little bit of a hole to run for 80 yards. I mean, that's 14 points right there. And then there were other instances where they got things a little easier than they should have. And I just didn't feel like the offense had as good of a rhythm as it could have had. Now, it's possible Michigan State's defense is pretty darn good. And that's why it was difficult for the Bears to get into a rhythm. So we'll kind of have to see how things develop. Both Best and Vereen looked pretty darn good. In fact, I think the group that really concerns me a bit is the offensive line, particularly in run blocking. They got better as the game wore on, and I think that's because they've got the conditioning that helps them win out long term. But particularly early and then in the middle of the game, there were times where they just weren't opening holes for either Best or Vereen, and they didn't have anywhere to go. But their conditioning is good. They did wear down Michigan State. That made a huge difference at the end of the game in the late third and the entire fourth quarter. So it wasn't entirely bad. It just felt like early it prevented the team from getting into a rhythm. And perhaps the play calling was just a tad predictable with the kind of standard run-run-pass sequence that makes it easy for the defense to key off the run on first down and on second down when they made a few yards on first down. One player who I was particularly impressed with was Mora. Mora is a great receiver, a lot better receiver than Craig Stevens was. His blocking, I don't think, is as good as Stevens was, but man, can he get downfield fast, and he's got good hands and great speed and runs really excellent routes, and I think you're going to see him involved in a lot this year. Rollout patterns, seam passes, all of that sort of stuff. So I think he actually was the shining star of the day as far as really coming into his own as the starting tight end. Another who had a very good day was Sean Young. He really is starting to develop into that leading wide receiver for the team. Larrell Cunningham had kind of a mediocre game, but the one you could count on, the one who would get to the right spot in the zone, the one who was running nice and fast was Sean Young. So, very impressed with him, very impressed with Mora. Best and Vereen lived up to my expectations, as did Riley. And overall, the offense, although an uneven performance, if they can continue to improve, has a lot of potential. On the defensive side of the ball, I was much more impressed. The opposite is true of the defense that I said of the offense. They got no breaks. There were 14 points put up on the board that pretty much they could do nothing about. There was a third touchdown they got on a very difficult call where both the receiver and the corner caught the ball together. And unless there's something I see on film that drastically changes my opinion, unfortunately that was probably the right call, because it's true that if both the receiver and the corner are holding on to the ball, the catch goes to the receiver. As much as it was pretty clear to me that the one who, you know, say 60-40, maybe even 75-25 was holding on to the ball was the corner, doesn't matter. As long as the receiver is holding on to the ball and doesn't ever let go, he gets to keep possession. But that was a tough break for the defense, and that, since it was a long, long throw, put up another touchdown there. So really, you know, that's 21 out of their 31 points right there, all coming on very small things, and the rest of those 10 were not all that impressive by Michigan State. So I really felt like the defense played solidly all game long, shut down the run very well. There were no huge runs. They even made sure they kept a lot of runs to 1 and 2 yards. They weren't giving up those 4 yards every time. That can be really problematic. If there was one area they were a little weak, it was on the one corner side opposite of Sid Kwan. Darian Hagan and Conte were having a little bit of trouble manning that side of the ball. But I think they'll come along. I mean, it's still early in the season. They just need to stay closer to their man and run with them a little bit better. And the defensive scheming was not doing them any favors because it put them out on an island an awful lot. I did not realize just how much Michigan State ran spread formations with five receivers. And the Cal defense was not putting a lot of men in coverage. They were really sticking to keep the guys in there for run defense. And with that being the case, the corners and the safeties were really on their own to take care of coverages. And overall, I felt they did a pretty darn good job, particularly Sidquan and Ezef were really locking down their positions. And Hagen and Conti, who were splitting time on the other side, struggled a little bit more, but not terribly so. Nevertheless, expect our opponents, after reviewing tonight's film, to be picking on them as much as possible. So they're going to have to raise their game, or the defensive scheming is going to have to give them a little bit more safety help than they have till now to ensure that they're not abused and giving up big plays. I felt like the 3-4 worked pretty darn well. Derek Hill was causing tons of trouble in the middle from what I could see, and was really making it difficult for the offensive line to know who to pick up from the linebackers that were coming through. The defensive ends, although they did their job, and I'm not trying to pick on them, weren't as impressive to me as I hoped. I really hoped to see Rulon Davis causing all kinds of trouble. And as I've said in some of my articles and other podcasts, this just might be the year that the defensive line is the most thankless position on the team, because they're going to get double-teamed and put under a lot of pressure. And that's okay, because as long as they're taking up a couple of linemen each, they're really freeing up those linebackers to come in and make the plays. And the linebackers are going to look like the heroes, when in reality the defensive line is opening things up to let them be heroes. So it's hard to tell if it really was a case where the defensive ends weren't performing well, or whether they were performing well and just freeing up linebackers to have good blitzing routes to go through. Moving on to the kicking game, Brian Anger was everything everyone hoped. Boy, can he kick that ball. I mean, 59 yards in the air and high enough to get a fair catch. That's just incredible. I don't know that I've ever seen that. I mean, I've seen 60-yard punts, but it's always with a roll and something. You know, it's not all in the air and a fair catch. And he had a 56er, too, so it's not like it was some unusual punt for him. He's so long that the instances where he's going to have to be pulling up a little bit so he's not kicking it into the end zone are higher than just about any other punter you're going to find. I mean, 60, that means if you're kicking from your own 30, he's going to have to think about pulling up a little bit, because you don't want to kick it past the 10. The 10-yard line is where you want to hit. So anytime it's beyond your own 30, he's going to have to take a little bit off of it. And that's just incredible. He looks so awesome. Now, of course, there was the one kick that went over his head. I didn't get a really good look at it, so I don't have a sense of whether Anger could have knocked that ball down. But in any case, it was just a mistake. It's not something that really worries me long term, unless it becomes a pattern. Those type of things do happen, and the reality is they happen very rarely on the Bears. So we may have gotten a little spoiled, and therefore we're more surprised than we should be to see something like that. Of course, kickoffs are an entirely different story. You know, here I'm following things closely, and I find out there's a new kicker who may have more leg, number 40, and I'm already forgetting his name. And I was all excited. Oh, geez, maybe we'll have somebody to bail us out of the problems we're having with kicking off. Well, he was no better than the other two. I mean, C. Wright and Kay could kick as far as he can. In fact, by the time the game was over, C. Wright was kicking kickoffs. So it's just not going to be a good year for that. The ball is rarely going to be inside the 10-yard line when caught, and we're going to be giving the ball up at the 30-yard line a lot all season. That's just how it's going to be, and that's going to put extra pressure on the defense to give up fewer yards so that the other team can't get into field goal range, because it's taking 10 to 15 yards off of the distance they have to travel before they can start kicking field goals, and that makes a big difference. But you got to do what you got to do. The good news is the coverage that's going down is doing a good job of, you know, only giving them 20 yards of running, but it's 20 yards from the 10 as opposed to 20 yards from the goal line. And we could see by the Michigan State kickoff person, there's no reason a college kicker can't be getting that ball down to the goal line just about every time. So it's really disappointing. I don't know what the story is on why Cal hasn't been able to find a kicker who can get the ball down there. But, oh well, we're just going to have to live with it, and I don't think it's going to be the thing that kills the Bears this season. So looking forward, the team goes on the road to Washington State next week. I think it is a really good thing that Cal is playing Washington State this early in the season. Washington State is going to be very unpolished with a new offense, a new coach, and it's not going to be a tough game up at the Palouse after they've had a chance to let the conditions get cold and dry and difficult. I like to call it, you know, not the frozen tundra, but the frozen potato patch up at Pullman, Washington. And unless for some reason tonight Washington State was able to pull a massive upset over Oklahoma State and is going to have a bunch of confidence coming into next week, I really think this is going to be a pretty easy game for the Bears on both sides of the ball. The reality is Washington State has even less talent than Stanford at this point, and Cal has broken the trend of having difficulty winning in Washington, particularly in Pullman, and I expect them to do very well next week. After that, they head to Maryland. That, I think, is going to be a much more difficult game. The offense is going to have to work out the kinks and be a little bit more polished if they're going to have success there on the road where you don't have the benefits of the home crowd behind you. But, of course, an eminently winnable game. A note about these on-the-road home podcasts, I am going to every game this season, traveling both home and away games. On the home games, I won't be doing any post-game interviews or things like that I normally do as a reporter because I'm not covering the game for BearTerritory.net. I'm just going as a fan with my family. But on the road games, I will have all of those, and they will be included in this podcast on Excuse Me for My Voice. So look forward to that, both next week with Washington State and the following week with Maryland and all road games thereafter. That wraps up this edition of the podcast. As I said, look forward to next week's podcast from Washington State. Also look for my BearTerritory.net podcast on Tuesday that I'll link to from Excuse Me for My Voice. And thank you for listening. On the road again.